I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock. I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting,
everlasting rock.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. I trust the ever-living one that he for me will plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, it sends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him, he will not cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. My soul is resting on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation in my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me.
Welcome to the Voice of Hope. Whether you're a seasoned Bible reader or just opening its pages for the first time, we're here to explore and learn together. On the Voice of Hope, we cut through the noise of life with clear, inspiring Bible teachings. Join us as we follow Jesus, our King and Messiah, on this incredible journey. The Voice of Hope is brought to you by Heralds of Hope, an international media ministry dedicated to using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. The Bemba language in Zambia is one of our newer broadcasts. The program began in the book of Genesis, and we've been receiving many responses from listeners. One stated, "The message you have started teaching is very powerful. It reminds us on the beginnings of everything seen and unseen. God bless you." Thank you to our Canadian churches for their support on this broadcast. It has been a blessing. So this week, we are continuing our study in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. Here's Bible teacher J. Mark Horst to give us some insight on a mother's faith.
Thomas Edison was an amazing person. In fact, it was said of him that he was more responsible than anyone else for creating the modern world that we live in. Specifically, no one did more to shape the physical, cultural makeup of the present day than he did. And accordingly, he was the most influential figure in the last 500 years. Whether you agree with that or not, his life did impact ours dramatically. But if you would have looked at his early life, it wouldn't have indicated that kind of influence. At age 7, he was sent as a student to a one-room schoolhouse with about 38 other students of all ages, and he only lasted about 12 weeks, because Tom's overworked and short-tempered teacher finally lost patience with his persistent questioning. He noted that Tom's forehead was unusually broad and his head was larger than average, and he concluded that Tom's brains were addled or scrambled. In response to this, Tom's mother Nancy began teaching her favorite son at home. She believed his appearance and demeanor showed above-average intelligence. The actual contents of the note that Tom's teacher sent home to his mother informed her that the child is as dense as a stump and virtually unteachable. But he didn't know about that note until many years after his mother had died. In any case, she and her husband utterly dedicated themselves to educating their beloved child. Nancy Edison was a devout Presbyterian. She had faith in God, and she had faith in her child. And as we say, the rest is history. You know, the scriptures are a treasure trove of examples of mothers of faith. They're not just historical, but also relevant and beneficial for us today. Mark chapter 7 and verses 24 to 30 yield valuable insights directly related to our discussion. And so I encourage you to listen attentively as I read this passage, and then you can actively participate in our study by sharing your thoughts and reflections, either via email or by sending us a note. Tony will provide our contact information at the end of the program. So here now, I'm reading Mark chapter 7 and verses 24 to 30. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Now, before we delve into the life of this mother from Canaan and the faith that she demonstrated, I want to review the context of this account. This chapter begins with the Pharisees accusing Jesus' disciples of breaking the elders' tradition. What were they doing? They were eating without properly washing their hands. Jesus used this interaction to teach his disciples that defilement comes from the inside, out of the mind and heart, and not from outside impurities. Every temptation to sin and every act of sin begins as a thought. It originates in our heart. Now let's turn our attention to the mother from Canaan, a woman whose unwavering faith and persistence, even in the face of adversity, we can all admire and draw inspiration from. I believe her story is a powerful testament to the strength of faith, a force that can move mountains and overcome all kinds of obstacles. You know, her faith never wavered, even in the face of societal judgment and personal pain. Her example should be a beacon of hope and inspiration in our own faith journey. It should strengthen our own faith in the face of challenges we experience. Immediately after Jesus teaches the disciples this lesson on uncleanness, he leaves the Jewish area and goes to Tyre and Sidon. That was a Gentile area. And here comes this Gentile woman from Canaan. According to the disciples, she is unclean because of where she comes from. She was not only a Gentile, but a Canaanite, and they were a people group that was historically at odds with the Israelites. So we could say she was an outsider in every sense of the word. And Jesus uses her need as an object lesson for the disciples to reinforce what he had just taught them about uncleanness. The disciples needed to understand that uncleanness was not a matter of nationality, any more than it was a matter of eating without ceremonial washing of the hands. Let's keep that context in mind. As we go along, we'll also draw in some details from Matthew's account of this same experience. As we look at this text together, let's note three proofs of a mother's faith. That's our title for today, A Mother's Faith. The first proof of her faith is her petition. As I mentioned, Jesus left the area around the Sea of Galilee and went northwest into the area known as Phoenicia. This was a distinctly Gentile area, and Tyre and Sidon were in the heart of Phoenicia. Mark adds that Jesus entered a house there because he was looking for privacy and for rest. And yet even in this Gentile territory, his fame was known. And so this woman, whose daughter was grievously tormented and possessed by a demon, came looking for Jesus. You can identify with this woman better than I can if you're a mother. I care about my daughters as a father, but God uniquely designs a mother's love. Imagine the pain in this mother's heart as she saw her daughter bound by demonic power day after day after day, and she was powerless to do anything about it. Her love for her daughter and the pain she felt seeing her suffer is a testament to the depths of this mother's love. We don't know what the manifestations were of this demonic oppression, but the final verse of our text and other portions of Scripture give us an idea of how these persons were tormented. The faith of this Gentile woman moved her to petition Jesus for healing. She must have heard of Jesus and his power to heal, otherwise she wouldn't have risked the pain of rejection and humiliation. Think about it. Her need most likely made her an outcast in her own community. She may have been the subject of gossip among the women at the village well. They may have pitied her, or maybe they confided to each other that she must have done something to deserve the wrath of the gods. There was a social stigma that was attached to her daughter's condition, and yet she persisted, her faith driving her to overcome these obstacles and to seek help from Jesus. Now we know her need was great, but her faith was even more remarkable because it motivated her action. She came to Jesus with tremendous agony of spirit, and she poured out her petition in a simple sentence. Her mother's heart looked past all the pain of rejection, all the whispered comments, all the sidelong glances. She had faith that Jesus could help her. So let's look at her petition, and for this we have to go to Matthew's account. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." It's short and to the point. It's a cry for help from the very depths of her soul. It's a humble prayer with a confession of Jesus as Lord. And it's a fervent prayer. She cried for mercy out of her helplessness. It's also a prayer full of faith. Mark tells us she fell at Jesus' feet with her request. Notice there's no wavering here. She didn't say, "Lord, maybe you can help me." Her faith was fixed on Jesus and his ability to heal her daughter. This unwavering faith in Jesus' ability should reassure and strengthen your faith and mine. If you're a mother and a follower of Jesus, you probably know something about this kind of prayer. Now, perhaps your child's need isn't as great as this daughter's was, but as a godly mother, you have lifted your child's needs to the Lord. Your faith in God motivated you to petition the Lord for your son or your daughter. This mother's example should be a challenge and an encouragement to you. One proof of her faith was that it motivated her petition. Her unwavering faith in the face of silence from Jesus should be a model for all of us. The second proof of her faith is, then, her persistence. This second proof is where the woman's true character shines. In Matthew's account, chapter 15, of this particular incident, he records that Jesus answered her not a word. How would you react to that kind of response? Was Jesus being mean-spirited? Well, that would be totally out of character for him. He may have been testing this mother's sincerity. Mothers, do you have a burden for a child of yours? Does God seem silent? Does heaven seem oblivious to your cries? I think you should take heart from the example of this Gentile woman, because she didn't give up. Her persistence proved her faith. The disciples didn't know what to do with her. They asked Jesus to send her away. They were uncomfortable with her tenacity. They said, "She kept screaming after us." Picture this. Here is the woman with this desperate need crying out for mercy. Jesus refuses to answer, and the disciples are asking him to chase her away. And then finally, Jesus speaks. He says he has been sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So as a Gentile, she doesn't qualify. But again, we see her faith enabling her persistence. She comes and worships him. Again, we're in Matthew's account. This word, worship, describes her action as that of a dog licking the hand of its master. It's an acknowledgement of dependence, of gratitude, of reverence and adoration. And so this mother's confidence in Jesus was the basis of her coming to him. And even after he refuses to help her, she is still convinced that he can. And she cries out, "Lord, help me." Jesus responds a second time, "It is not good or proper to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs." You know, I marvel at the persistence of this woman, this mother. Now, there are varied opinions of what Jesus was trying to communicate here. Some see his use of the word dogs as the ultimate put-down. In other words, if you were a Jew, you were special. If you were a Gentile, you were sometimes referred to as a dog. This was a concept Jesus' disciples were familiar with. They had grown up with it. However, some scholars point out that the word translated into English, dogs, refers to little dogs or house pets. For Jesus to take his attention from Israel, in violation of his mission, would be like a father taking food from his children to throw it to their pets. In other words, it would be improper for Jesus, at this particular time, to offer the kingdom of God to the Gentiles. The proper time for that, as you know, would come later. Are you a mother who's deeply concerned for one or more of your children? Will God hear your prayer immediately when you cry to him? He will, provided that you're in a right relationship with him. Will he answer it the way you want and when you want? Maybe, but not necessarily. He may be testing you, like I believe he was testing this mother. Are you serious about your petition? Or is there perhaps pride in your heart that he wants to break? Jesus may be testing your motives. Are you more worried about your son or daughter, your reputation, and what people will think of you? If you're genuinely concerned for your child, your faith will show persistence. I know mothers with wayward children they're deeply concerned about, and nobody knows how many prayers have ascended to heaven from their lips. Only God knows their anguish, or hears their cries in the silence of an empty house, or the whispered prayers in the night, or tears on their pillow. But their persistence is living proof of their faith in God. According to Matthew, this woman's request has been denied three times, first by silence, then by Jesus' mention of his exclusive ministry to the Jews, and finally by a possible racial slur. Again, I marvel at her persistence. She wasn't going to be deterred or sidetracked or frustrated. She reminds me of the picture of a hound on the trail of a rabbit. She had one focus, and that was to see her daughter restored. And so she responds to Jesus' comment in verse 28 of our text by saying, "Yes, Lord, I know what you say is true, but the little dogs do get to eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." You have to be impressed with her grasp of the truth. It seems like each denial only strengthened her resolve. If you're a mother, I encourage you to follow the example of this mother. Demonstrate the proof of your faith by your persistence. God is listening. He hears and he will respond. The final proof of a mother's faith is his provision. Look at verse 29. "Then he said to her, 'For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter.'" All that this mother had hoped for, everything that she'd set out to do when she came to Jesus, was now a reality. She endured silence, rejection, and insult, and she received what she had so tenaciously struggled for. Her faith activated the Lord's provision. Imagine her joy, her excitement, her love for Jesus. Hers was a great faith. Not faith in herself, but faith in the object of her pursuit, If she would have only had faith in herself, she would have never come to Jesus in the first place. But she went out of desperation, out of helplessness, and with the confidence that what she was not able to do, Jesus could easily do. And as we know, her faith was rewarded. This truth of faith activating provision is repeatedly demonstrated in the scriptures from beginning to end. We have examples of people who lacked faith and they suffered the consequences, like the children of Israel who died in the wilderness because they didn't believe God could deliver them from the giants in the land. And then we have examples on the other side of those who exercised faith and received God's abundant provision, like Deborah, who when all the men around her wimped out, she stepped out in faith and led Israel to victory. Mother, do you have faith in God? James reminds you that those who petition God must do it in faith without wavering. And that was the kind of faith this mother from Canaan had. Her actions demonstrated that her faith was firmly fixed on Jesus, and she was not going to be denied. Now maybe you're thinking, I don't need a faith like this woman. Well, that may be true, but every godly mother recognizes motherhood itself as an act of faith. You don't have what it takes to raise godly sons and daughters, and if you think you do, God will bring you into situations that crush your pride and self-confidence. You see, only by trusting God and exercising faith in Him will you be able to fulfill the task of being a godly mother. That's the secret of success of this woman from Canaan. As we close, I have a few questions for you. Mother, where is your faith? Has it motivated you to petition the Lord for His intervention? Or are you still struggling to meet the need in your own human effort and strength? Has your faith been demonstrated in your persistence as you continue casting yourself and your need on the Lord, even when He seems silent? Are you worshiping Him from a heart of obedience and trust? Is your faith activating God's provision? Have you experienced all that He wants to give you? No matter what God's provision is, He will honor a mother's faith.
My faith will stop to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away,
Thank you, J. Mark, for working through this difficult passage. You know, Mark doesn't record any of the disciples' conversation while this was going on, but it's my understanding that at least some of them would have witnessed this mother's plea. In the other Gospels, we read how they wanted to send her away, just get rid of her. Perhaps Jesus was testing the disciples. Did they really believe that an outsider could be clean on the inside? Was it surprising to them when Jesus granted healing to her daughter? I don't know that I have any answers to these questions, but it was something I was thinking about as I listened to the teaching by J. Mark. I certainly was blessed by today's teaching, and I hope you were too. If you were, let us know. Or if you would like to hear the program again, please visit our website at heraldsofhope.org and look for the title, A Mother's Faith. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Again, that's hope@heraldsofhope.org. I invite you to subscribe to any of our channels on the various social media platforms, including YouTube, Spotify, and Telegram, by searching for Heralds of Hope. To contact the Voice of Hope or to send us a gift, call us at 866-960-0292 or mail it to the Voice of Hope, 6183 Lincoln Highway, Harrisonville, Pennsylvania, 17228, or visit our website at heraldsofhope.org. Your prayers are needed, and your gifts are always welcome. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers, will enable Heralds of Hope to be a tool for the church to make disciples of all nations. Be sure to join us the next time for the Voice of Hope.
Under His wings I'm safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, oh what precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, who from His love can sever.